Sweet. So, okay, I don't know where we left off, but I wanted to, we'll continue the podcast, well, but I wanted to talk about Cosmos Tribe.
Yeah, Cosmos Tribe. What do you want to know about Cosmos Tribe?
What is Cosmos Tribe?
This is, so it's a poem that, it's one of his poems that he's posted on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
He talks about, I write beautiful poems about ugly things. And well, that's not my main focus regarding it, where it's like there's this within artistry, there's this loneliness that exists where it feels like people don't understand this thing that's scratching at you for you to create.
Most definitely. I think let me just an explainer. Right, Cosmos Tribe was an event. The video that is up on YouTube is of an event called Cosmos Tribe, which happened last year. Was it last year? It was last year, late last year, right? And it was hosted by a group, a collective called Magnum Opus. Okay.
Yeah.
And this was the second installment of this event. They had one the year before that. So the performance is about a 14-minute performance. And it is, I would say, a collage of different poems kind of stitched together.
Yeah. But
the thread is writing beautiful poems about ugly things all throughout. So it's different poems that I've written, some I've performed before even. So the poem itself is not like one long poem that is called Cosmos Tribe. Just a bit of context.
Okay, cool.
But I completely understand you. I think a lot of people, when they look at creative work, sometimes they don't understand the purpose, where someone says, what even is this? What's happening? What's going on? Or when you've been doing something for a long time, you know, some people will say, aren't you tired of this? You know, don't you want to get a job? Or, you know, I know that is a typical example, but it is a very real example of people asking a person who's been in the industry for quite a while to get a job and
like, yo, dude, stop alone. This childish thing.
Yeah, I think people don't understand that itch to create, and sometimes it feels like the process of creating is the only thing that truly gives you a sense of purpose in the world.
Yeah, I guess for creating is by design as humans, right? It's like, even okay, not that I'm a Christian at this moment in time, but from a biblical perspective, it's like the first thing that God does is create something, right?
Yeah.
And for the next couple of days, like, first he creates the light, and then after defining what a day is, he starts creating everything else. And then after some time, he's like, I need to create other things in my likeness that will also be able to go forth and create, basically, like, being made in God's image. Yeah. Well, just as an interpretation that I take. And the place which, as humans, which we constantly create from is literally us being the mirror that is God, effectively.
I mean, God is... really, when you think about it, is one of the greatest of all times. The Christian God is one of the greatest creatives of all time. And you must think, he has the typical artist story, even, of having no parents, grew up...
Jesus is a rock star.
He grew up a loner, you know, so... He's one of the greatest. No, he is the greatest creative of all time, and he's watched his work backfire. He's watched his work gain terrible reviews.
Are you Christian, Zwande?
I am not. I was raised Christian, but I would not necessarily
identify.
Say that I am. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's sad. We need more prayers from people like
Why?
You.
Why is that sad?
We need more prayers from people like you.
Look, I have absolutely nothing against religion or Christianity. In fact, I am all for the idea of... I think it would be quite arrogant of me as a human being where I am right now to say this is where it begins and ends. There is nothing greater than this.
Yeah.
That I, the human, am at the pinnacle of all existence as based on Earth, right?
Yeah.
I think there are definitely greater forces that are at play as we go about in our daily lives. I think there are, you know, things that we cannot explain but know themselves and happen and do and perform and are able to affect how we live our lives. But I don't necessarily conform to the institution or the institutions of religion. I think they corrupt the idea of greater powers being in existence.
I feel what you're saying, though. But well, with the same notes, like, yeah, people have the right to be whatever. Oh, not necessarily right. The thing that what serves one person doesn't serve another person. So,
this is
my one approach when it comes
trash.
To spirituality. Yeah, because, like, two different people can have the same religion, and it could be self-destructive for one person, and it could be the very reason why another person, the very thing that the other person needs, it could be their life force. So,
this is true.
Yeah.
I just generally believe you need purpose, and sometimes religion can offer that for you.
Which purpose. It does.
It's
just that, it's just what's scary about religion is the amount of power that you give over to whatever church you are joining at the time. So you are literally at the mercy of the intentions or the awareness of, because like a lot of people do bad stuff without being fully aware. Like they believe, people might genuinely believe that they're doing a positive thing, but effectively they might be harming lots of people at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like you are handing yourself over to somebody, and in a way you're going to blindly follow because you believe that this person's been ordained by a greater force. And if this person is wise enough to make sure that they don't mislead the people, then I don't see anything wrong with that. But as you've seen with the newspapers where you have people drinking fucking petrol and what, eating grass and so on, and like it's damaging for people.
I think when you attend a church, you should not be attending for someone. Right,
yeah.
I don't think you should go to a church because Pastor Mang Mang is the pastor there. I don't think you should put your faith in the prayers of Pastor Banban. I think when you make the decision to attend a church and be part of whatever religion you choose, you should have a clear conscience of what it is that you want out of it, what it is that you are looking for. And within that church, you work yourself as well towards that. I think to say, yo, I go to this church and I am here because Pastor Banbani is here and his prayers work, I think is a great disservice to you and is great disrespect to whatever religion you are serving or you wish
but
to serve.
That's the that's the great thing and the funny thing about this all is that, like, you're damned if you're in religion, you're kind of damned if you're not, because on one side, like, religion, you can call it a distraction and all of that, but the person who doesn't have religion is also distracted by his own, like, whatever he gets hold up in, whether it be I don't know, drugs at an extreme, or just like spirituality and some knowing yourself thing. It all ends up being like the same thing, masked as like something different.
I think you're looking at it as though it's binary, as if you don't attend a church, you will fall victim to some other demon.
Not necessarily binary.
Very much so valid. I mean, that's what it's sounding like to me. That's what you're phrasing it as. The way you phrase it, you make it sound as if it's binary. I think it's very much so possible not to attend a church, not to be a religious person, and still be a very decent person. In fact, I know people... I know people that you know that are decent people that are not necessarily believers.
I think we got held up at characteristics. I was going beyond characteristics and going to behavior. You'll find that once you rip apart what the actions of a person who is religious and the actions of a person who is not, they are, and you remove the context of religion or atheism or agnostic, so when you remove that, you find that they're doing the same thing. They're trying to find deeper meaning, both of them, whether one is through Christ, the other is through whatever they find in the world. You know, it's all I'm saying, Gucci. We end up doing the same thing, really. So what if he's doing it that way? So what if I'm doing it this way?
I get where both of you are coming from. For me, my biggest thing with, well, from the first point that you raised, I'm like, people are afraid to take responsibility for most of their life. And it's like it takes a lot to just fully look at what life is and yourself and everything that you can impact and be like, okay, cool, I'm going to take ownership for this. And you're like, it's terrifying because you want to know, you come from the world where somebody's always had a plan. Your mom's had a plan, your dad's had a plan, etc. And now it's like, yo, you have to take over and be responsible for this. And that's overwhelming responsibility. And it's easy to be like, I'm going to go to whatever place and be like, God's got a plan. And it's like, cool, I'm handing myself over to this plan, even though I don't fully understand it, etc. But at least it alleviates me of this responsibility.
At least God has a plan.
Yeah, dude, it's dude, yeah, this I life think, thing is scary, bro.
I think some people do cling on to religion to absolve themselves of their actions, of their shitty actions, of their shitty decisions.
And it's not even necessarily shitty decisions as well.
I'm just saying there are some people who cling on to religion for that purpose, to absolve themselves of their messes and go, well, if these things are like this, it's because, you know, there's a greater purpose that I'm not aware of. So I'm going to leave things as they are. I'm just going to kind of move here and here and tiptoe around my life. And then the greater things that I need to solve, I will not solve. And hopefully in the future, something great will happen. That is, you know, something miraculous will happen.
And it breaks my heart because like that's...
And like,
it's the place when life falls apart, the people, when you're desperate, like one of the first places you go to is church.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, it's not like you go to church where they'll be like, yo, dude, get your ish together. Okay, cool. How can we help? Let's actively do this and so on. It's going to church to be told that there's a plan. Don't worry. Uzolunga. Begezel.
It's going to be all right. Everything's gonna be all right.
So, Zuande, can you tell us about your journey? Okay, cool. Just to give some perspective on Zuande, he's very multi-skilled,
multidisciplinary, prof.
Multidisciplinary. There's slam poetry where like there's not the okay. The idea is you find something that resonates with you, and then you go all out and try and master it as much as possible, effectively becoming one of the best within it. And this I can say is true for the poetry that you do, I can say it's true for your acting, as you know, I've cast you before in one of the films I've done.
Thank you,
Derek. Oh, no, thank you for that opportunity, man. Director.
I can say this is true for you as an editor as well. Also,
Prof was my mentor. Prof was my mentor. And believe it or not, Prof was my mentor.
Really?
So,
yeah, my first professional job as an editor.
Thank you, Prof.
In fact, I was coming in as I think assistant or something.
You're supposed
I was
pulling in.
I was
open up the industry.
And then Prof pushed me and says, "Yo, edit the full episode and grade and do the thing." I was like, "What?" Man, that push gave me life, man. That push gave me life. I used to stay up all night trying to perfect and edit. And because Prof pushed me, man.
Yeah.
And I'm forever
Prof
grateful.
Is a slave driver.
Grateful, man.
Slave driver.
No. He's a nice guy. I think I stayed up.
He's a nice slave driver.
But yeah, man. Thank you, Prof. Thank you for all your opportunities, man.
What show is that you guys were working on?
No, we shall not mention names.
We shall not mention games. We keep it moving.
Cool. Yeah. So your journey from poetry into the art scene, man. Like, and it's not like you're in just one part of the art scene. It's like you literally bleeding out into every department of the art scene.
Wait, I didn't hear a question in that, actually.
You're starting with your poetry, like your journey into it. Like, okalepi.
My journey into poetry. So when I was in high school, when I started high school at about grade 8, this was, early 2000s. It actually starts before that. Damn, I don't want
what?
To track
before
the
early
story.
2000s.
Yeah, so let me
great,
just
yeah.
Great, quick,
great,
quick
great,
summer,
great, great,
right?
Great.
So a quick summer, right?
Okay, cool.
So I'm in primary school, and this teacher says, "Valentine's is coming up. Why don't you guys
Where's
write
your
a
boyfriend?
Poem?" This is my
right checking at home. Lonely.
Yeah, so they wanted us to come up with an original poem, though, right? So
yeah.
I write this poem and everyone writes a poem and you have to recite it now. And I get up there and then I get told that, yo, that sounds like you copied it. And the fortunate thing was that I had written it in front of my mother. And I get home, I show her I got a 0 because the teacher said I copied it. And she says, "What? Oh, okay, write another one. Let me see if you truly did the thing." So I write another one. And I think ever since then, she's just been saying, "Write another one." And I get to high school.
Shut up, moms.
So I get to high school, and now that the teachers know that I write these poems, and to impress parents and people who were coming to the school, I guess important people to the school.
So you've been writing since primary?
Yeah.
Did you rap?
So I got told to... Did I rap?
Yeah.
I always thought I could. I never actually ventured it into it fully. Yeah. I did a bit of battle rap when I was in varsity.
Whoa, whoa.
And when I was in high school.
You actually
but I
battled.
Never, yeah. I did. And I've lost. I've won. It's been a rough patch with hip hop.
I actually had one of my battles end up on TV. I think there was a TV
really?
Show called Street, was a Street Cred or Street something, where at the end of a show, they started having battles. And
okay.
On one of the hip hop, one of the hip hop
TV show.
I can't remember what channel I was on, but I remember watching it for the first time ever because I was going to be on it. And the audience had to basically vote with SMSs and so on. I destroyed that guy, Shem.
Damn.
And every time I'd see him at any hip hop scene, I'd be like, "Yo, dude, I killed you on live TV, bruh. Peace."
Damn.
But anyway,
okay. I did not know this. This is awesome.
I didn't
man.
Know you did battle rap in varsity.
but I was small time. I remember one time I was at, I think it was Back to the City. And you know how there's always like these small groups of people who gather under the bridge or whatever and just do like small battles.
Ciphers.
Right? Yeah. So I remember one time I was there and this guy, so I was freestyling, and then this guy comes up and started dissing, right? And now it became a battle where if I don't rebuttal this guy, I'm gonna look like a bitch. I don't want to look like a bitch. I was like, no, let me just rebuttal. And I got myself ready as he's rapping. I got myself ready, and when it was time for me, I was just like, this guy was too good. I can't. So I started beatboxing. So that was my worst loss to get.
Oh, it stuck with you.
Yeah, man, it was my worst loss to date. And yeah, but you know, if anyone wants you know to battle, I'm up for it, man. I'm up to kill anybody right now. You know,
I have not had a battle. I probably haven't had a battle since like 2008.
Wow, that has been a while.
It's a long time.
I think people grow into themselves. I think we've
what doesn't serve us anymore.
Exactly, and rightfully so. I don't think we should burden ourselves with the thought of, oh, I was so good at that, let me go back to it. I think sometimes people make that mistake and end up diminishing what they have right now because they want to relive a glory day of sort.
Yeah, no, I get you with that. Yeah, net. So your venture.
Silo is gone. Silo still here? I can't hear Silo at all.
I also can't hear him. Let me just double check on him.
Okay.
Yo, it's rough, the internet. So do you see yourself ever coming back home?
Coming back home to?
Where you were born.
Eastern Cape?
Yeah.
I live there, Moses. It's my home that I
want. Oh, that's where you're based right now? Oh, okay, cool.
I mean, I'm not there. I'm in Jersey, but I will tell I go home every now and again.
Right.
Yeah, most definitely.
And how is Eastern Cape in terms of the art scene, though?
Oh, man, you know what the thing is? In order for you to truly and successfully move within the arts in the Eastern Cape, you need the endorsement of... You need political endorsement, as far as I've seen. And then you will truly make, you know, a good money, good living money, and be able to sustain yourself. Otherwise, the next best thing is coming to Johannesburg, okay. Is making it so big and then moving to Johannesburg.
Yeah.
You know, when you become a big fish in a pond, and the next big step is to just jump in the ocean. Or jump in the next dam and then get Joburg. In the ocean. Which is Joburg. I think Eastern Cape is great and has groomed some great people in the past. But there is a stale... It's static. There's a staticness to it that does not make or does not condone...
Allow people to grow.
Yeah, it just does not move... People, there's just an energy where people feel too comfortable here, and don't want to really venture out there. Like I know great poets who are there, who have not come this side or gone anywhere.
What to take the risk or leap of faith?
They are too comfortable. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's sad, but I hope one day they will be able to summon up enough strength. To or spirit to come up and to move around South Africa. They don't necessarily have to come to Joburg. So in as far as I've seen in Eastern Cape, there needs to you need to have kind of institutional endorsement in order for you to have a freedom of sort.
Yeah, but this is what sucks about a lot of spaces outside of Joburg and Cape Town in particular, where it's like there's no lucrative way to, or it's hard to find a way to live, eat, and have a life as an artist outside of Joburg and Cape Town. So it's like there's almost, in a sense, like a responsibility that we need to, okay, there's a thing which we need to take control of, which is finding the ways to build the culture of consumption that actually allows people to be able to eat from the art scene.
Yeah, but I think
what are we talking about? I'm back.
You'll pick up as you go along.
I think as an artist, generally, there are two things that play against us. One is the reality of how difficult it is to commercialize your work effectively in a way that lines you up for months and years to come. That's the first thing. The second thing is a lot of us, and I'm talking about the art community plus the general community, the civilians, we have given into this idea of a true artist being poor. That
an idea.
That if you make money or if you make good money, you either have sold out or your work starts to become considered as not good enough or not good as it used to
like
be.
You're like,
you're still poor. So now people don't want to have too much money, but they want to make enough so that they are alive for the next maybe 2-3 months.
The problem is that. Is that it's a mix of a bunch of like bad ingredients that has left the South African artists where they are. Like, we're coming from a culture of vulture lawyers, producers, whatnot in the entertainment industry, where they knew which, you know, black person was going to win a civil case, let alone they knew what a civil case was to get their masters back, etc., etc. So now we're stuck in a point where our people are uneducated. Like, the fact that potholes aren't closed in the hoods is just because people don't know which they actually have the power to get them closed. And if people don't show up, they can escalate it. They don't have that education. It's not common knowledge like it is in the suburbs. Well, that's why this shit is clean. It's because they know they can always blame somebody. See, now we've been always blamed so long as artists in Jefuti alone, for just like, go get a job, like you guys were saying. we're always blamed. So it's hard for us to come out and then be bold and learn from that after creating great work. You know, now I have to do Excel.
I think another big thing is just that between artists, knowledge is not passed down. A lot. So there is a lack of communication between the coming generation or the ascending generation to a generation that has been active, where the idea of something like you were saying, the idea of masters, of record labels still owning masters, they're basically owning rights to your music after you're dead. Right?
Yeah.
And if someone does not educate the artists that are coming up, yo, work to own your masters. It's better to do things like this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Try this instead, because me, now I got screwed like this and like that, you know? So information is not passed down readily and effectively so that the next generation does not have to suffer. Not necessarily,
because like people like Jay-Z, like you said, like your last paragraph is a Jay-Z song where he's like, yo, how are you guys still signing deals with these labels? Like, how are you still doing that? And I think people need to want to grab that information. Otherwise, it's just going to float by you. It's just another ship and you're just at the harbor looking at it. Yeah? Well, you have to want to know what's on board.
I hear you, but I think if, let's say for instance, I'm going to take a basic example, a child, right?
Yeah.
A child, if it does not see you or other people walking on 2 feet,
yeah,
right, it will not strive to walk on 2 feet. If you are constantly laying down around it, like it's that's just what it is. So it, if it does not,
but for
see
artists, that's not the same thing. There's so many now.
Relatively, it is though.
My example is this: if I don't see a prof who's been in the game for 10 years, if I don't see him fighting for his masters, if I don't see him arguing with Amar record label, if I don't see him talking about it publicly or talking to me even one-on-one as a new artist, then I won't know that that's an issue to contend with.
My point is though, Puff, to cut your phone, let's just speak just now. My point is that, yeah, well, all of that, you need to, like, I think now, maybe 20 years ago, we had that excuse. Now it's a bit, there's so many people, there's David Tlale, there's Sia Kolisi, there's so many representation, we're speaking about representation, like, there, now, like, it's not cool to say you're the first black man to do anything, because it's been done, everything is nearly been done now, like, it's very rare for you to, but all I'm saying is you need to look at those people. If you say you're a rugby player, you look at the captain of the Springboks and you're saying, that's the guy. And then you need to start like studying the guy. Like, I'm pretty sure like anybody who's good at what they do, you have to study everybody around you. It's business. It's a SWOT.
But that's exactly it. So if you're studying everybody around you and everyone around you is locked up in shitty deals, then you will not see it as a problem.
But
that's what I'm saying.
Everybody around them is not locked up in shitty deals. Like, we can see it now.
But
like,
that's not the case. I grew up with 90s
Casper.
No, but whoa. I mean, I grew up with 90s, early 2000 hip-hop.
Yeah.
Right? And people were signing deals. So if I was studying those guys back then and I wanted to be like those guys and I did not see the master's thing to be a problem, then I too would have signed a deal where I gave away my master's. That's what I'm saying. If you don't see that there is a problem, you won't fight for a solution.
I guess I'm 100%
so
with you there.
So what needs to happen is that the older guys need to raise the problem, make the, you know, create a sense of awareness. So like, yo, guys, there's an issue like this and like this. Avoid it if you can, or avoid it at all costs, whatever the message would be. But there needs to be clear communication of the problems that exist now for this generation of artists so that the next generation of artists does not suffer the same.
Yeah, for me, this is part of the reason why I admire the Kiffness. Like, I'm not so big in the music, but as the individual, like, he's doing the process where he's trying to get money out of Samro from all the royalties he's collected over the past few years. And he's documenting, he's taking it upon himself to document every single step and why certain things have failed, et cetera, the responses and so on. And the specific part where you said publicly, saying is the important part, because like there's like Proverb who went and got his rights for his first album, The Book of Proverb, which is great. But in terms of that being news, it's not. It's like people are not understanding the magnitude. Oh, well, he's not fully communicating it to the level that the Kiffness would. But also, I get what you're saying, Silo, in terms of the first black people to do this, et cetera, and so on. But Oxala is that we still need we need more black narratives that give us permission to
go forth
and be able to do this shit.
All I'm saying is, if you say you want to do something, then you have to start at a point where you don't know. Angus, we all start at a point where we don't know. You say, I want to be that. Then you study that. Then you become that. I'm saying there's enough information out there for you, for our people
and
to grab.
I agree with you.
An education-orientated way, a solutions-based-orientated way of thinking.
The trickiness is the fact that you, okay, cool. So all of us in this podcast right now, all of us have a very good understanding of what it takes to go and learn and master and do something. And all of you can also admit that among your peers, you're probably the minority.
How so?
Your ability to be like, screw, I'm going to go learn Blender, 3D software, whatever it is. And you actually know what steps to take. And not everybody's got that. Because I'm not going to say it comes naturally because you have to learn everything from references of other people, how they learned, etc. But you've been exposed to the right type of people through your whole life to be able to get to the place where you are right now, where you can be like, I want to learn to play the violin. And you know, you say, okay, cool. Let me watch 10,000 YouTube videos before even buying the violin so I can know what I'm looking for, etc. And what kind of sound attracts me, etc., etc. And so on. And this is you having other references along your life of how you're going to master stuff. Yeah. Not everybody's got that narrative, especially Abu Daki. Like the same Daki is like, I'm sorry, you can't join the soccer club where it's your first opportunity to master a skill because there's no money at home to buy your macogs.
Look, unfortunately, and Zuwande, and I feel like now you'd agree, Guti, when you get to the place, because okay, fine, there's the acting industry. There's the music industry. But for you to get to the place where you're in the music industry, you're saying you want to get to the place where you're working with the best of the best of the best, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm saying, Uguti, if you're not coming into any place and saying, I want to be the best and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be one of the best, if not the best, then you're not doing all you can. And dog, like, you can always, we can go back superstars for generations and we'll always find somebody who had nothing. And through sheer, they had nothing, dog. Like, there's always, like, this is how I humble myself, is tell myself, there's somebody who has it worse off. You have no excuse. Yeah, boy. And I feel like way more people are in that you have no excuse to somebody worse off than there is that are really in shitty situations.
Yeah,
that's pretty much all I was trying to wrap it up to say.
Yeah, I get your point.
Yeah, it's just like,
so
yeah, just be the best. You consider yourself the best at what you do, right?
Yes and no.
I consider myself to be good at what I do. I consider myself to put in the time to be effective at what I do. I don't think necessarily.
I see your modesty, but I'll say in terms of, like, I'm just talking now where you prep yourself up before a big gig, in terms of that moment where you feel like you got this, like you've been hired to do something you can do.
Yeah, most definitely. You have to fulfill the contract, man.
Yeah.
What, you have to believe you're the one.
Yeah, dog. Take that pill, like Neo.
You have to... You know, when you're going into a performance, you have to have the confidence that everything will go well. And if you don't, you can find yourself fumbling and stumbling through your words. So definitely, I think there's a moment of heightened confidence where you have to absolutely believe. And I hear you. I think on the road of... particularly in the arts, there is a lot of people do seek to be the greatest. I think, but as you grow much, I don't know if you listened to the J. Cole album, one of the very popular album.
Which one?
Forest Hills Drive.
The Forest Drive. Yeah.
And it's my favorite album from him.
He was talking about... There's like this short skit in there, right? It's like woven into a song, but then at the end of the track, I can't remember the name of the track, right? I think it's talking about who's the king or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And this guy comes up and he says, yo, then there've been all of these people, and then Jermaine comes up and takes the crown from whoever.
Oh, it's about history repeats itself. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. That's the track. And then he says, so, and then Jermaine comes up and takes the crown from whoever you think has it, but instead of putting it on his head, you know, he smashes, boom, crash, you know, and then breaks it up. There will be no more kings, whatever, whatever. So I think that there are two kinds of artists in this respect. There are artists who seek to be the greatest at what they do, and there are artists who seek to be effective in what they are doing. So when it comes to spoken word poetry, because I came up through competitive poetry where I was slamming and competing against other poets.
Is that what slam means? It means that you like battle poets. Yes.
Dude, you need to... slam poetry is amazing. It's just, what sucks about essay is this, it's not that big an essay. That's the only thing that kills me about slam poetry. Yeah, but it's amazing.
I mean, it's grown a lot, but it still has quite a lot of way to go. And I think the only thing that's missing right now is, which the Americans have done quite well, is PR. But it's done quite well in itself. Yeah. So what for I was me, saying is that I came up through competitive poetry, right? Yeah. So, of course, at a certain time, my ambition was to be the absolute best, win every single slam, and be crowned every single slam as the king.
Basically,
of poetry.
That's what you were doing, though.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was competing, right? I was there, and I love slam poetry, absolutely love it. Yeah. But as I've grown, my attitude, my overall attitude with my work has changed. And I've grown to a state where I am the second type of poet now, where I am choosing or I am wanting to be as effective as possible in all of my performances with my poetry.
Yeah.
And what does this mean? It means I would like for my poems to reach as many people as possible who need to hear it, right? So now the ambition is no longer having the most eyes necessarily, but changing the most lives. Yeah. You see the difference? So I think there's that dynamic, and it is something that I sometimes struggle with, because even when I'm invited to perform at something, I can still have a mentality of, I need to be the best poet here. Everyone needs to remember my showcase.
I mean, we all have a way of wanting to showcase and leave our mark on the world. So that's totally understandable if you feel that way. At some points, I know, at some points you have to talk to yourself that way. You have to say to yourself, you need to crush this performance for you to do better and move on. And it's just in that moment, in that healthy competition, in that arena where we're all here to kind of, not in essence, fight, but, you know, show each other how good we can be.
For me, I keep saying it's a brotherhood thing still.
Yeah.
where it's like you are in competition, but at the same time, it's not a destructive competition. It's like we bettering ourselves type of competition.
Yeah.
Where it's like the person who you're competing against is your brother, effectively. And
I think for me, it might have leaned towards the destructive. I did not want to be ranked close with anyone I was competing against at the time. And even now, if I was to slam now, I don't want to be considered to even be in the same lane as someone. I want, you know, someone to remember my performance as, shoot, these two guys, they are on completely different levels. Like that guy, what he did was bullying. If I slam, that's the mentality going in. I prepare like it's a boxing match. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So I want the difference to be clear.
Yeah, regarding the conflict that you have with this part of you, I do believe that both parts can be true. Or both parts of the artist can be true within you. You can be writing something with the intent of helping people out there, whether it's help allowing them to heal through whatever words you have to say, through uplifting them, etc. And at the same time, have the competitive part of you, because both parts of the flame are necessary for the flame to exist.
Oxygen. Yeah, of course, man. I think the flame always needs the wind, man. And the and that confident and confidence is a great booster in the overall performance. I guess you inspire confidence, or people inspire confidence within themselves in different ways. And this, because of how I came up in poetry, this is the one way that I do it. The you know, whether it's a pseudo ambition to be the greatest at that show.
So this, what desire to be the greatest, how has this built into all your other skill sets that you've currently gone on to acquire?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has spilled, and I think, but it also has humbled me, in that there was a time when, okay, right now I'm wanting to venture a bit more into music, right?
Yeah.
But I'm understanding that in terms of making music, I'm starting at the very bottom.
Yeah, and ground zero.
And now I just have to eat my humble pie and go, this is where I am, and I need to focus on the next step and make the next step the greatest step I can, you know, I can make. So in my ambition to be great in music as well is also in a way humbling me to where I am right now. So it's in as much as that competitive side of me has led me to great things in the past, it has also led me towards humility.
Yeah.
Now I feel you with that. And it's, I think it's a pattern that artists, well, anybody who ventures, things that I believe that people get bored in general. I do believe that nobody's ever designed to just go and master one thing and that's it for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
I think this is a pretty boring life. So I believe that within us, all of us have something within us that wants us to master different things, whether it's after like 7 years at a time. And so that means that there's a place that we always, every single place that you've been to along this journey of mastering this one thing, is every single place that you're going to have to revisit and just in a different way.
Deep, bro.
I think it's much like watching a film. I'm recognizing now that when I watch old films that I've watched before, I'm watching them from a very different perspective, and new things get revealed to me. So as we live as well, like you're saying, I think as we look back in the work that we've created, we look back with a fresher, grown perspective and go, I can, if I was to do that again, I would do this differently and it would be more effective this way. I think people do grow out of things, like you let go of battle rap, but they can also revisit with a much fresher perspective and, you know, perhaps be grand at those things with that fresher perspective.
Yeah. No, I feel you with that.
So are you working on right now, besides just music, and anything else interesting you're working on?
Right now, I am currently working towards my book, which I'm hoping will come out by the end of this year. The coronavirus has delayed the progress of the process, but I'm still in communication with my proofreader and editor, and I'm hoping that by the end of this year it will still be possible. And then I am editing one show, but that's also kind of stalling because
again, of corona. Cool. So what's the book about, Will?
So the book is a collection of poems that I have written and have been writing over the past several years, decade long.
What's the fancy word for it? It's an what?
Anthology. Yeah. So that's the book, and it's the main, I guess, the overarching theme of the book is just black masculinity in modern South Africa. Looking at things like domestic abuse, looking at things like being black and a man and in love, what that means in South Africa, being black and having mental issues and what that means being a man in South Africa.
It sounds like a necessary conversation.
And that's a conversation I'm hoping to have once the book comes out. I'm hoping to come to a place, you know, and people ask me questions about the book and we are able to open up the conversation.
Yeah. No, this is going to be dope. I'm going to purchase your book.
I'm hoping it will be online as well, because coronavirus has opened us up to a new currency of new possibilities. For instance, this podcast would not be possible, might not have been possible if we did not know or we did not have coronavirus. And we thought, hey, let's be innovative.
Yeah, we want you to come to Durban. Thank you, social distancing.
Yeah, in fact, that's precisely what Prof did. He invited me all the way to Durban in order for us to have a podcast. And now we are aware and know.
We've got excuses. The rules are changed.
Exactly. I mean, you're looking at someone like, who's the... It's going to kill me now that I don't know. I forgot her name, pardon me. But she was having a concert in her house. And people paid
$1
to watch.
Wait,
Erica Badu, yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. And $1 for a concert. Now imagine 1,000 people watching the concert. Imagine 500,000 people tuning in to watch Erica Badu perform in her house, each one of them paying $1.
Yeah.
That's canceling out the booking fees, that's counseling out the manager, the tour manager,
dogs,
the security, the venue, all of that. That's like
a game
money
changer.
Direct. So the currency is also changing.
Mm.
Thank you, Corona.
It's gonna be an interesting world when Corona is over to see. Because like for me, I already expect the music scene to completely change. Because like right now, it's like depending on how long it goes. Like if the virus goes on for like 8 months, it's enough time for these internet rappers to actually go overtake the artists who need to be performing all the time. So. Mm. It's also the trauma of not being able to go out there and socialize forces people to change the kind of music they enjoy as well, because you enjoy a certain music only because you're going to go dance to it. And then when you don't have
that... Yeah, so now you're a lot more in tune with yourself.
Yes. So because of that, GOM is not going to cut it when, you know, like... Yeah, when you just really sitting with yourself. So that also might affect what kind of music SA is going to be consuming in future, or the world in itself.
One thing
content-wise...
Yeah, sorry, Ziwandi, you can speak.
So I was saying, I think it's also going to affect just content in terms of television as well. I mean, people are talking a lot about things like Money Heist, which is what would be considered a foreign language series because it is Spanish, which was for me great to see.
That's the dope thing about Netflix. That's the dope thing about Netflix is that it's previously, before the internet, we had a certain amount of places to get our information, and the internet has changed that. We now no longer have limited amounts of places to view stuff. We have unlimited content to access anywhere at any time. So that already has just changed the game about who makes it through and what we get to see. We don't need to wait for SABC and DSTV to get us content from overseas. We can even illegally stream it if we need to and need to watch it right now. You know, not that I'm promoting that, because artists need to eat.
Sounds like you are, but you know.
But I'm just saying, it's accessible. You can get it.
Yeah, no, I hear your point. So, my new artist name is Naeem Blue.
Naeem Blue.
Naeem Blue.
Yeah.
You no longer prop.
Naeem.
Spell.
Yeah.
You're gonna change it on iTunes.
Naeem. I dude, it sucks.
Naeem.
Yeah. And then
what
space.
What does that mean?
Naeem, basically, you know my Okay, for my real name, Itumeleng Anker, which is basically what? Happiness, contentness, etc. And that's pretty much what Naim means. So I've renamed myself in a different language. And then blue is just, I don't know if you, there's this show on Netflix called Love, Death and Robots. And
of course, specific,
it's amazing. It's basically short animation films and they're completely different. So I mean, like, completely, drastically different. So one might be completely sci-fi, whatnot. The other one might be based on a farm, might be an alien attack, etc. So there's this one specific one where there's this amazing artist called Naim Blue. I mean, called Zima Blue. And he's obsessed about one specific color. And within the animation, he goes to, like, ridiculous lengths to create all these epic arts around the color, the specific Naim blue color. And eventually at the end, because like his whole entire body is replaced with like robotic parts. It's an animation. It's a short film though. I do suggest checking out. Basically when he goes, he does his last exhibition and he basically undoes himself and becomes this little machine that just cleans the specific blue tiles, which is his origin story, because he was basically just a tiny machine that was given a brain to clean the swimming pool better. And with every single update, it became more and more human. And through his art, he's been searching for this specific place and he eventually finds himself back at the origin, which is what he was originally. So it's basically it's like the journey to self, where it's like every single thing that we go through is like we literally take ourselves, we lose ourselves deliberately or not.
No,
we lose ourselves, and everything that we do is a journey all the way back to ourself.
That is very so true. That is some of the literature I'm listening to right now, Prof. That is very, it's just like
so. This is my new name.
Thank you.
Okay, so what kind of music are you making?
I'll send you a few songs. It's
okay, cool. I'd love to listen, man. Cool.
It's on iTunes. It's on all digital platforms.
Yeah, at the
check
moment,
the healing,
yeah, it's the first project, The
Prof.
Healing. Yeah, under
but
the
it
name
will
Prof.
change to Naim Blue.
To Naim Blue.
Where is the
It's on all platforms, but I'll send you a link. What do you use? Spotify, YouTube?
I use YouTube most of the time.
Well, YouTube music or YouTube?
It's still there.
YouTube no, for real.
I use YouTube. I don't have anything else.
Dude, you should.
I really don't.
Explore Spotify, music? Man. Yeah,
Pardon
YouTube
me?
Music. So YouTube music is a separate platform. There's the free version, which just has adverts. So it's just like Spotify and the gang, but there's adverts in between. So that's how it generates revenue for the streams.
Cool. I've got all the major music services.
YouTube has been trying to get me to sign up. Every time I open YouTube, they give me a notification. Yo,
YouTube Premium.
Yeah, I'm like, no, brother, I'm fine with the free one.
It amazes me how people don't mind ads. I fucking hate ads. I hate adverts. I don't like seeing ads.
I don't like ads, but I'm not willing to pay just so the ads disappear.
I know it's like a capitalist system and like, fuck you. You're making me watch this shit. But I mean, it's like, here's the thing. And listen to me. Here's the thing. It's just like, I don't want you subconsciously telling me what to think. Because that's what ads are.
Here's what I'm saying, right? Is that you can play your ads, but if you can play your ads and I'll be fine. But the moment you say, I must pay you to remove the ads that you put in there, I have a problem.
Yeah. But that's the thing.
Because now it tells me that you have the power to remove the ads, but you have chosen
But like, here's what they're gonna tell you.
They're being paid for the ads.
This is how we keep YouTube
free. I get that.
Yeah, but this is how we keep YouTube. This is how we keep YouTube free. It's like, okay, fuck off, go to Vimeo.
I get that. But that's what I'm saying. I think for me, the ads don't bother me so much. I think though the absence of the ads is much better than the presence of the ads.
Prof.
Right?
Man,
but when you tell me to pay to remove the thing that you put in there, how, chief? No. You might as well just do it.
Me, I hate adverts,
bro.
I hate adverts.
I hate adverts so much.
I'm on YouTube Premium, bro. I do YouTube music, you know. I enjoy ad-free living. I download stuff for offline. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you do know that you can get third-party apps to remove the ads for you, right? Without paying.
Yeah.
Like, only for YouTube, I never see an ad.
And when I go on
YouTube, I never see an ad. And like, I can go to YouTube right now, and I don't see ads. I never watch ads because I have an ad blocker.
You should check out the browser called Chrome. Called Brave. B-R-A-V-E. Brave. So it's dominantly based on blockchain technology, crypto.
Bitcoin technology. So,
it's cool in a sense that what they're trying to do is that they're trying to allow you to monetize yourself if you want. So it's like they're trying to block as many adverts as possible, and every single time you do see an advert, they're trying to make sure that you at least get paid a certain percentage of the money that was used to be paid for that advert to get there. So,
okay, I would like that.
Yeah, obviously you're not
get
you
paid
can't expect
for an advert that did not do anything.
And it's pretty much like Chrome, but it's like a fork of Chrome, so it's exactly like Chrome.
Yeah, and it's got an internal torrent. So you don't have to go download a third-party software to download torrents and stuff.
Because we just want to torrent documents.
Documents. Very, very legal documents.
Very, very legal free books.
And books.
Yes.
Okay. But, James, I think it's about that time I leave you.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Duwande.
I want to find you on socials so they can know when your book is coming out, your music, where you'll be for your poetry. Where can they find you?
I am Zewande BK Bingo everywhere. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere.
Everywhere?
Cool. So thank you so much for your time. And we're looking forward to having you again in future.
Yes, sir. Thank you
so much, man. I really appreciate this.
Yes, let us know when you're in Durban. Prof will buy you a beer for both of us.
Do you even drink?
I don't drink. But thank you so much for the offer.
No, but
I'll take a cappuccino.
We'll go for a cappuccino.
I'll take water.
Okay, black.
I appreciate it.
Filter coffee.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
So please, Ziwande, just wait a while until it says completed on the upload.
Complete. Am I uploading?
Yes, you're uploading your audio because yours is not uploaded yet.
Okay, so what do I do?
So just when we stop the recording, just stay on for like another 20 minutes or so.
20?
Years.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Shoes, but it's only 50 megs. Let me hang up so it got to record.
Okay.
Okay, sure. Radio DR.co.za.